The meditation for today is based on the Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading from Exodus 17 and 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. To start, I read verse 7 of Exodus 10. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. St. Paul wrote the Christians in Corinth that it is vital they exercise their Christian faith. Belief in Jesus, following Jesus, it's not just saying something, getting baptized, and that is all there is. Belief in Jesus, following Jesus, is to live life that way. St. Paul compared his Christian life to training as an athlete. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." The Christians of Corinth knew about athletic competition and training. In fact, Paul himself may have seen the Isthmian Games in 52 AD. Dr. Lockwood, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, notes, "This prestigious event, the Isthmian Games, second only to the Olympic Games, was celebrated every 2 years about 10 miles from Corinth. The basic athletic events included racing, wrestling, jumping, boxing, hurling the javelin, and throwing the discus." Paul begins with an illustration from the foot races in the stadium. A number of runners competed in each event, but only one could win the prize. The analogy to the Christian life is, of course, imperfect, for in the Christian race, all believers are prize winners. But Paul uses the analogy only to point to the exertion and self-discipline required of the successful runner. He challenges the Corinthians, "Run that you may win." Here ends the quote from Dr. Lockwood. Paul expects all Christians to live out their faith, true and hard. And how does one do that? Paul continued in chapter 10 with a key example from the Old Testament, when the people of Israel grumbled against God in Exodus chapter 17. The people had no water to drink during their travels from Egypt to Mount Sinai. This was a real problem. However, the people did not face the problem in faith in God. The God who just did 10 plagues, these miraculous plagues, to get them free from slavery in Egypt. And God even parted the Red Sea to save them. They saw all that. No, instead now, with this problem of no water, they grumbled in unbelief and rebellion. And as Moses said, they wanted to stone him, to kill Moses. The problem was real. But the faith, love, and respect for the Lord, who just saved them, was missing. They complained as unbelievers. St. Paul warned the Christians in Corinth, "Do not behave like that." And he notes that even later in Exodus, they even worshiped idols. Paul pointed out that these people all passed safely from Egypt. They all followed God's presence in a fiery cloud. They all would perceive God's presence on the mountain and in the tabernacle. They all passed through the Red Sea. They all drank miraculous water and ate miraculous bread from heaven, manna. Yet they rebelled over and over again. They grumbled over and over again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7, "Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do we behave like this after all God has done for us, sent his only begotten Son to suffer, die, and rise for us, gives us today his holy words and sacraments to bring us his forgiveness and peace gained by Jesus for us, gives us Christian friends and families, supplies so many good things in our daily lives, and yet we grumble against God and complain? The problems that we have are real. Illness, death, job loss, family troubles, and so many things like that. These are not fake. These are real problems. But so is God's love for us in Jesus Christ real. If God would send his Son to bear the punishment we deserved, won't he watch over us in everything else? Can't we go to him in prayer instead of turning away from God with grumbling? Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is watching over us. We can go to him in prayer. We can go to him in faith. In the midst of troubles, he is with us. And one last note. God takes care of us so that we might take care of others. The point of the Christian life is not to make ourselves rich and powerful. The point of Christian life is to take care of others as much as ourselves. Our family, friends, neighbors, and strangers. Jesus said even to pray for our enemies. Exercising our faith is to resist the temptation to grumble and complain against God in our troubles. But rather, we go to God in faith, in the name of Jesus. The devil wants us to turn away from God. God wants us to trust him. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you have loved us so much you sent your only begotten Son to suffer and die. Take our sins upon himself. Take the punishment we deserved upon himself. And then rise again as he defeated death. And you give us forgiveness and peace in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks for our daily gifts and nourishment and family and jobs and home and all the wonderful things you provide for us. Help us when we face problems and despair and troubling things, that we would not turn away from you, but we would come to you in faith and prayer, that we would not grumble, but we would respect you and know that you are in control and ask you to help us. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.